So Hebrews chapter 2, 942 in the Pew Bible. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, tonight we remember the cross. We remember the great sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that through his death, Jesus destroyed the devil and paid for our sins. Lord, would you open our hearts now to hear your word, that you would help us to feel the weight of our sin and to rejoice in the full forgiveness we have through Jesus. Help us to see him for who he is, our Savior, our substitute, and our victor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good Friday. Dave alluded to this earlier. It sounds like a strange name for what happened on that day, doesn't it? Good Friday. It was one of the darkest days in all of human history. It was a day filled with blood and pain and death. A day when the sinless Son of God was nailed to a Roman cross and died. At first, names like Terrible Friday or Dark Friday or even Bloody Friday might seem to make more sense. But there's a good reason why we call it Good Friday. Because on that day, Jesus won a victory that changed everything. From the very beginning, Scripture tells us that there's been this great battle. In Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, sin and death entered the world. And behind their rebellion was the devil, was the serpent, was Satan, deceiving and accusing, turning humanity against its creator. But even in the midst of the curse, God gave a promise that one day the offspring of the woman would come, the serpent would bruise his heel, but that promised one would crush the head of the serpent. And that promise runs like a thread all throughout the Old and New Testament. Again and again, Satan stands against the people of God and the purposes of God, trying to stop the promise being fulfilled, doing everything he can to oppose this coming promised Redeemer. But in the fullness of time, Jesus comes. And this battle continues. When Jesus was born, Satan worked through Herod, a wicked king, who ordered the murder of every baby boy born in Bethlehem, hoping to destroy the child who had come to reign. And when Jesus begins his public ministry, he was led into the wilderness and tempted by Satan. But unlike Adam, Jesus didn't fall. Later, when Jesus began speaking openly about going to the cross, Peter tries to stop him. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan, because he knew whose plan that was. Then in the final hours, Satan influenced Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus into the hands of those who would crucify him. This was meant to destroy Jesus. But in God's sovereign plan, it led Jesus to the very place where Satan, the serpent, would be destroyed. At the cross, the serpent's head was crushed. Satan was defeated. What looked like defeat for Jesus was actually victory. Satan was overthrown, sin was paid for, and God's people were set free. That's why we call this day Good Friday. Because through death, Jesus crushed the enemy. Through death, he conquered sin and secured our salvation. The sermon summary for tonight, what I hope you take with you, is this. Good Friday is good because Jesus died to destroy the devil and save sinners. Good Friday is good because Jesus died to destroy the devil and save sinners. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 is an amazing verse. It's a great verse to reflect on during the Christmas season. And it's also a great verse to reflect on Good Friday. Because in one sentence, it brings together the incarnation and the crucifixion. It reminds us that the eternal Son of God became truly human, that he didn't just appear like one of us, he became one of us. He took on flesh and blood. The author of Hebrews says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood." The children mentioned here in this verse are us. He's talking about human beings. And the phrase flesh and blood sums up what we are. We're made of flesh and blood. That's our nature. And describing us this way highlights something important about us. Our weakness. Our bodies are fragile. They're vulnerable to sickness and aging and death. We share in flesh and blood. Now notice what the writer says next. He says, "He himself," referring to Jesus, "likewise partook of the same things." Notice that there's a different verb used here for Jesus than for us. The author says that we share in flesh and blood. That's what we are. But Jesus partook of it. And so what does that tell us? It tells us that at a moment in time, he became something that he wasn't before. At a point in time, the eternal Son of God became a man. He didn't stop being God, but he took on something that he didn't previously have, a human nature. He put on flesh and blood. This is one of the most shocking and amazing truths in all of human history. God became man. He didn't just appear human, he became human. He took on himself a real human nature in the same way that you and I are human. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, the Word who was in the beginning, who was with God, who is God, became a human being just like you and me. He had hair. He had eyebrows. His eyes were a certain color. He had a real human body, and it went through all the normal developments that our bodies go through. He was in his mother Mary's womb for 9 months. And at some moments, the eternal God kicked inside his mother's womb. And then he increased in wisdom and stature. He learned how to walk. maybe by holding the hands of his adoptive father, Joseph. He experienced all the ordinary, everyday limitations and weaknesses that we all experience. In John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are traveling, and at one point Jesus says to them, "Guys, you go on ahead. I'm going to sit here by this well because I'm tired." Jesus got tired. He got hungry. He got thirsty. No. Yes. And he had real human emotions, sinless emotions, but they were real. He was troubled in his spirit. He was grieved. He wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus. He experienced joy. He was a real-life human being in exactly the same way we are. Fully human in every way except for sin. And because of this, this is so central to the Christian faith, the early church made it a point to clearly teach that Jesus is one person with two natures. That Jesus had a divine nature in which he was fully God, and yet he had a human nature in which he was fully man. Two natures united in one person, Jesus Christ. He partook of the same flesh and blood that you and I have. But why? Why did Jesus take on flesh and blood? The writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus did this in order to destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus became fully man. He took on flesh and blood. He partook of the same things for the distinct purpose of destroying the devil. So you could say part of Jesus' mission in becoming fully human and coming to this earth was so that he could destroy something. To destroy the one who held the power of death, the devil, Satan himself. And now to be clear, Satan isn't sovereign over death. He never has been. God is and always has been sovereign over life and death. And in fact, death is not a sign of satanic victory. Death is a sign of God's judgment. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But death is still that dark reality, that dark reminder of the devil's deception. Because it was through Satan's temptation in the garden that mankind fell into sin. It was through his lies that Adam and Eve turned away from the author of life and chose sin and death. With sin came death. And now because of sin, every one of us is now under the curse of death. And in the same sense, as long as we remain in sin, we live under the shadow of the one who introduced it, the one the scriptures call the prince of death. But the writer of Hebrews tells us something amazing, that Jesus Christ, in his flesh and blood, destroyed the one who had the power of death. This sentence, this one little verse in our Bibles, declares the victory of Jesus Christ over Satan. He has destroyed him. The victory has been won. And yet, when we hear of that victorious language, that Jesus destroyed the power of the devil, that he has overthrown him, our minds might go to images of battle, or of conquest, or of a mighty warrior with a sword in his hand. Maybe we think of Braveheart or Gladiator or these epic moments of triumph. But the writer tells us exactly how Jesus destroyed the devil. And there was no army. And there was no weapon in his hand. And in fact, the only blood that was spilled was his own. What kind of victory is that? How is that triumph? Because from the outside, it didn't look like a victory at all. Jesus was disowned by the leaders of his people. His disciples had abandoned him. He was mocked and beaten and then killed by crucifixion. If there was ever a moment when evil seemed to win, that was it. And yet, just a short time after this, his followers were proclaiming the crucified Jesus to be the conqueror of death. How? How? There are two little yet important words that we see in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, that answer that question. Through death. Jesus destroyed the one who had the power of death through death. But you may still be asking, but how? How does dying defeat the devil? Well, Scripture tells us that death is the penalty of sin. Every single person in this room, unless Jesus comes back, everyone in this room will die. And every death is a loud, unavoidable reminder that the wages of sin is death. Sin brings death. And the reason death comes to every one of us is because every one of us is a sinner. And you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner by nature and by choice. No one had to teach us how to sin. We were born with hearts that lean away from God. And it all extends back to that first sin in the garden when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. When they fell, we all fell with them. We all carry in us the corruption of sin. We are liars. We have lusted. We've hated. We've been proud and selfish and full of greed. And the Bible says that because God is holy and because he is righteous and just, those who sin need to pay the price. Sin must be punished. And the penalty for sin is death. But here's the good news. Jesus didn't die for his own sins because he didn't have any. He died for our sins. He died in our place. He paid the penalty that we owed. And through his death, he triumphed over Satan and his domain of death. But you still might ask, well, how does paying for sin destroy the devil? How does that set us free from the fear of death? John Piper explains it this way. The only weapon the devil can use to destroy us in death is our sin. The only weapon the devil can use to destroy us in death is our sin. People don't go to hell because they're oppressed by the devil or because they're harassed by the devil. Those things are real, but they're not what condemns a person. They're in fact just distractions used to hide the one deadly power in Satan's artillery: unforgiven sin. The only reason anybody goes to hell is because of their own sin. Satan tempts people to sin because sin leads to death. And because of that connection, the devil is closely tied to death. He has power over those who remain enslaved to sin and death. And all Satan can do is fight like hell to keep you sinning, to keep you away from the one who forgives sin. The only real lethal tactic he has is to accuse you of sin and keep you sinning and keep you away from Jesus who forgives sin. But when your sins are forgiven, when the wrath of God has been turned away, when you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the devil has nothing to hold over you. So how does Jesus bring an end to the one who had the power of death? Well, he takes on human flesh and he goes to the cross and he dies in our place. And everyone who turns from their sin and trusts in him are forgiven and set free. This is why he had to take on flesh and blood, so he could die. Because in his divine nature, the Son of God cannot die. God cannot die. And so he comes and he takes on our human nature and he dies. Here's how the author of Hebrews says it. A few verses later in verse 17, he says, "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of his people." That's why he came, to stand in our place, to bear our sin, to satisfy the wrath of God, and to be the perfect high priest who offers not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood for our redemption. And his death becomes the death of death and the destruction of the devil. As John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." On the cross, Jesus took the very weapon Satan used to enslave us and used it against him. Through his death, Jesus destroyed the one who had the power of death. On Good Friday, the serpent struck. Jesus was bruised. He was pierced. He was nailed to the cross. But in that very moment, that very blow, Jesus crushed the serpent's head. Satan's moment of apparent victory was his ultimate defeat. The devil was destroyed at the cross. That's why Martin Luther could write in A Mighty Fortress, "The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure." Yes, we will all die someday because we still live in a world broken by sin. Death remains a part of life in this fallen world. But for those in Christ, death has lost its sting. It's no longer punishment, but passage into glory, into the presence of Jesus. This is what Good Friday is about. It's the day that Jesus bore our sin, the day that he satisfied the justice of God, the day he crushed the serpent's head by being crushed in our place. The Son of God took on flesh and blood so that through death he could destroy the devil, to deliver those who, through the fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. So tonight, we remember the cross, not as a place of defeat, but a place of victory. If you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. The devil has been destroyed, and you no longer need to live in the fear of death. But if you're not in Christ, you're still in your sin, and you're still under the power of the one Jesus came to destroy. But this day, this night, tonight, stands as an invitation. Turn from your sin. Come to Christ. Come to the cross. Repent and believe in Jesus. Because there's only one way to be delivered from the devil's grip. Only one way to be freed from the fear of death. Only one way to be reconciled to God, and that's through the death of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. This is why he took on flesh and blood. And this is why we call this Friday good. Good Friday is good because Jesus destroyed the devil and saved sinners. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that through Jesus' death, Satan was defeated and sin was paid for. We pray that you would help us to trust in Christ alone, that you would give repentance to the lost and assurance to your redeemed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.